I'm Samantha Wright, and you're listening to live coverage of Boise State Public Radio's announcement of the first case in Idaho of COVID-19, which has just been confirmed. The Department of Health and Welfare and Governor Brad Little will talk about the coronavirus case in just a few moments on KTVB-TV. We'll have that audio live here on Boise State Public Radio. Joining me in studio is Frankie Barnhill. Hey, Frankie.
Hi, Samantha.
It's been quite a day.
It has been quite a day. I mean, it really feels like every moment we're learning something new. The governor held a press conference just about 6 or 7 hours ago at 10 a.m. in which he and state health officials talked about how there were no confirmed cases at the time, but how the state was taking preparedness measures. And here we are, 5 o'clock. Before 5 o'clock, we learned that we actually do have our first confirmed case.
That's right. He declared a state of emergency.
Indeed, which opens up a few things. Our own James Dawson reported on this, and you can find more information at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. We have a coronavirus blog that we have started with up-to-date information, including, some information about what the declaration means. It will open up access to federal money and strategic stockpiles of medical equipment, ventilators, other medical supplies. So it has a real action, and here we are with the first confirmed case officially.
That's right. We are waiting for Governor Brad Little and the Department of Health and Welfare to have a news conference about the first case of COVID-19 here in Idaho, which has just been confirmed. And we should point out that that declaration, emergency declaration that Little had this morning, does an awful lot of things. Oh, here we go with Brad Little.
Kind of a busy afternoon today. And from our assessment that we were just talking about, it appears that everything went according to Hoyle. And I'll let Elke from the Department of Health and Welfare talk about the specifics of this first positive case that we've got in Idaho. So, Elke.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Elke Shaw-Tulloch. I am the Administrator for the Division of Public Health in the Department of Health and Welfare. And just this afternoon, the department was notified by our Bureau of Laboratories that we have our first positive case of novel coronavirus in a female over the age of 50 in the southwestern part of the state. She recently returned from a conference in New York City and was alerted by coordinators of the conference after 3 confirmed cases who were also in attendance at the conference boldly shared their information with their test results to help alleviate the spread and help in the contact investigation of others who might have exposure to this, these individuals. So fortunately, this individual is doing well. They're at home. They're recovering from mild symptoms that did not require hospitalization. We've been working with Central District Health on this case as soon as we learned about this afternoon. Again, it is our first case, but there have been 1,629 total cases and 41 deaths in the United States. The patient's treating physician acted appropriately after ruling out influenza, and then they gathered the patient's travel history, their exposure risk, and symptoms that were consistent with the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Clinical specimens were collected, and they were sent to our Idaho Bureau of Public Health Laboratories, where laboratory testing confirmed the infection. Epidemiologists with Central District Health are working with the department to determine reasonable risk criteria for the locations where this person was and visited upon their return, as well as any close contacts. I do have with me here today Brandon Atkins from Central District Health, who can fill you in a little bit more on what that means about contact investigation. But I want to stress the importance that we realize that this is a very scary notification, but we do want to have everyone understand that the risk to the population still remains low. This is someone who traveled into our state. We know that the contact of the cause of that was not from community spread in Idaho, but we will continue to be looking at this as we move forward. We encourage everyone to do the things that we talked about in every single press conference so far. We want to make sure that you're doing all those basic things, washing your hands, covering your coughs, covering your sneezes, making sure that you take care of yourself, you stay at home when you're sick, and you stay away from sick people. As we stressed this morning as well in the conference, Dr. Christine Hahn, the governor, everyone stressed that it's really important that we keep ourselves healthy to make sure that we keep elderly and those who are immune compromised also healthy. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brandon and let you hear some more.
Thanks, Elke. My name is Brandon Atkins, and I work with Central District Health Department. And a few of the details that I wanted to share in context with the contact investigation and what will be our ongoing efforts at Central District Health do include a very thorough process. We have epidemiologists who work in hand with the contact for this particular illness. They will be doing a very thorough investigation and dealing with those closest in contact with this individual initially. We'll be working with facilities that may have potentially been within this individual's purview once they return to the state of Idaho, and we will go out from there. It's how any contact investigation works in an epidemiological response. And the message that we would share is that this is not something that is a widespread risk to everyone that's in our population. We knew at some point that this would happen, and the preventive methods and measures that are in place are very sound and solid. Again, this individual is recovering well and is very cooperative. We anticipate that any additional information that we receive from her and from those in closest contact from her will give us a better idea of where we go from there, and we will continue to share information as we receive it. It is very rapidly developing. We received this information just this afternoon, and we're really grateful that we can have the opportunity to prepare as we have to be able to respond accordingly. Any other questions from someone for me?
Yes. Do you know how long this individual had been back in Idaho from New York?
So this conference took place in late February, early March. They've only been back for a small amount of time, and we do know that there's very little risk of other exposure to other areas.
So you essentially are going to backtrack.
Yeah, with an investigation, we do go through and we do a ring of closest proximity. So you look at an individual in a household, and you will go initial contacts in that household, and you will span out to areas that they may have been in that those individuals may have been at higher risk. So again, it's not everyone, I want to reiterate, it's not everyone that needs to get suddenly tested for this. We still are very much messaging to individuals. We would want people to continue to observe the messaging that's being put out. CDC guidance is still sounds very solid. That we need to watch for signs and symptoms. We need to watch for those that may have been exposed to someone who has recently returned from travel. But for this particular case, we know that this was brought into our state from a conference that they were joining. It was not something that they acquired locally.
Do we know where she's living here locally or what part of the area?
We know that she's in Ada County, and she was not afraid to share that information. She's been very forthcoming. So to generalize it, it is definitely in our larger population hub, which is not news to us. We see this happen very frequently in our state, that those with highest risk populations are typically those with the highest populations. So it's as soon as the provider can get that information over to them. It's not our duty to tell someone about their personal health information. The process typically that is followed is that that lab result goes to the provider, that primary care provider reaches out to that individual, lets them know the results of that, and also lets them know that they will have an individual from the department, our health department, reach out to them and contact them for details to find out. Again, reiterating, she was very cooperative with her investigation, and she got contacted from us within hours of her notification, 15 minutes to be precise from us once we learned the lab and we were able to confirm that the provider had reached out and spoken with her. Yes?
Do we know if this patient had entered our state capitol building since she's been back from the conference?
There's no indication that she has entered the state capitol building.
Is there any change in what you're advising people to do?
There's not. Again, what we would reiterate is we need to be proactive in preempting any type of response to this. This person acted very appropriately, contacted their primary care provider, had limited contact, was screened initially for influenza, had those risk criteria that were met. All of those things were handled very well, and the primary care provider did an amazing job in following through with the information, submitting the sample to the testing site at the state lab, the state lab turned around the lab samples in record time. They received the sample late yesterday afternoon and ran that sample this morning. We're able to get that information out. So again, the process worked really smoothly, and we'd hope that everyone could act as diligently as these individuals did.
Do you know how many pending tests there are still in the lab?
I don't know exactly how many pending tests. When you say pending tests, you know, you're saying how many individuals are currently being tested or how many tests are available?
Both.
So we have capacity at this time to do anywhere between 700 to 900 tests, and reagents are arriving frequently. Each week they will receive updates on that, and as Chris Hahn spoke earlier today, there is no bump in that change at this point. We anticipate that we won't have a problem getting those reagents in to run those additional tests. I can't speak to the exact number. If Chris Ball were here to speak of the Idaho Bureau of Labs, he could probably give us a better number, but I can tell you it's a fairly low number for our state.
Just want to clarify and make sure I heard this correctly. You said the woman is in Ada County and she's in her home?
The woman is self-isolated in her home in Ada County. She's not at Costco with everyone else right now.
Yeah. Do you know, was she relatively healthy overall? Did she have like a compromised immune system already with previous outlying health problems?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, and thanks for asking. The woman is recovering just fine, had very mild symptoms. Not aware of any underlying health conditions at this point, really meets the standard criteria, isn't an older individual, was around a whole bunch of other people in a high-risk category. So certainly, she had an idea that there was a risk associated. And again, speaking to how it was followed through from this conference and individuals reaching out, I applaud those efforts because they really do help the epidemiological response, allowing us to know direct contact from individuals that are known positives. It always makes our case study and case finding a much easier process.
Do you have more general information on just her age range and where
she is under the age of 60? So, of course, that myth that it's only those individuals that are older. We know that that's not the case for respiratory illness, and in our first case, it definitely is not the issue. She is in her 50s, and she is doing just fine and would love to not be known as Typhoid Mary. So we will respect that in her as well.
And do we know where this conference was?
We do know that it was from New York. Yeah, so she came back from a very high-risk city.
New York City,
correct.
Are you able to say which conference it was? Could there have been other Idaho?
I'm not at this point able to speak to that. And she was able to confirm that from her group there could potentially have been some other risk exposure. And again, our contact investigation will address that.
Is Idaho going to be more aggressive in seeking out tests for people who might be presenting with some symptoms of this new disease?
I guess you need to clarify, more aggressive than what?
Are you guys going to be offering more tests to more people?
So we're offering a maximum capacity right now to anyone who meets the risk criteria. I think that we're doing a really good job for anyone who may have been exposed. The messaging we want to solidify and keep in the public's forefront of their minds is that this is not a test that everyone needs just to get peace of mind. We have resources that we want to make sure we're allocating appropriately for those at highest risk, and it really does help us on the public health side address those at highest risk initially.
Give me an indication if this woman was out and about living a normal life, or was she at home already feeling sick and then realized this could be it?
You know, the details between the investigation are happening and developing. I can't give you specific details. What I can let you know is that she had mild to moderate symptoms and is recovering really well.
Do you have the testing capabilities to keep up with sort of the upper reaches of the estimates of what we might experience in Idaho?
Well, at this point, yes, I would say we do. And as long as we keep and maintain a very proactive sense of what we're doing, that we should be able to do that.
Is there any reason to think that other Idahoans were at the same conference?
No other reason beyond what we have seen currently with her and what she has disclosed. But we certainly can get that information in the contact investigation.
Do you know how big the group was that she was here or in New York City from Idaho?
I don't know the specifics of the conference.
The conference is late February, early March, and it's now mid-March. Do we know what happened between those 2 days?
We know that after she got back that she had normal days where she was on low risk exposure. She's indicated there weren't a lot of risks. And again, we will look at what those exposure risks are, and as we develop that, we will share it forward. But we do know that it has been very limited, and it seems to be that it will be very low risk to our community.
Do you know if she's visited any public schools?
Not to our knowledge. She has not shared that she's gone to any public schools.
Did she fly from the Boise Airport?
She did come in through the Boise Airport. That's correct.
Do we know how many people are in her household that she's with?
I can't disclose that information again. We're trying to keep some of that anonymity privy to her, but we can let you know that there are contacts that we will be investigating first and foremost.
Can I ask the governor a question?
Sure.
Will this affect the legislature at all? Will they be taking a hiatus or possibly signing down early?
Well, as we discussed this morning, the leadership on both sides is very attuned to what's taking place, and if you saw the action that took place today, their projected departure date, they're not stretching it out. They're trying to get through their bills, so that's up to the leadership and the two bodies about how they get that done. But they're trying to get, importantly, the appropriation bills, which they have to get done to get those done. So.
That's all. Anybody else have any other questions?
Just to hear from the governor about what this positive test means, what your message is to Idahoans, and how people should take and digest.
Well, thank you, Clark, because you all are a big part of this. We were very fortunate that the preparation that started in January started taking place. The protocols that took place with the healthcare provider, with the Department of Health and Welfare, with the lab, with the health district, actually couldn't have been better. But informing the public of those issues that a lot of you have been very helpful at, getting that message out to people of all those criteria, obviously all the good hygiene. You've seen, communities collectively get together and agree to postpone, reschedule events all over the state. Your help, the media's help in getting this message out, is critical to doing what we talked about this morning, which in fact, the press conference that the president had today, they talked about that graph that sat here this morning about we're trying to smooth that demand out, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. But we need your help in people, particularly if they feel like they might be in a place where they're exposed, to self-isolate and work with their healthcare providers. So that help is very precious to us right now. Yeah.
This morning you talked about not wanting to stop large gatherings or anything like that because we don't know where we are now. So now we have our first confirmed case. Do we know where we are? And if not, what's the tipping point where we do?
We do know where we are, and it was, had this been a case that we didn't know where it came from, it would be a different criteria. I think in the president's and all the providers that were in the president's news conference today, they talked about the exact thing. It depends upon what we know about the spread and what's taking place. We are very fortunate in this particular case to have a lot of details. It's very helpful to have somebody that, and that's why it's so important to us to maintain some patient protection, because if other people are in this category or a close category, we want them to be comfortable coming forward to where we can do proactively what we need to do. And this is a particular case where it's about what I wouldn't say hope for, but what we were hoping is that we could find out what their history was, who they'd been in contact with. That's way different than having one or two cases where we had no idea where it came from. So if somebody were to ask me, as a matter of fact, I got a text at 10:30 last night from a friend of mine that was in charge of a very large event in Idaho, and I responded back to him this morning that if they've got people coming from all over that they don't know, that's way different. If you've got people in the community an isolated community where they don't have it, that's totally different. So each different set of circumstances warrants a different action, and that's why a one-size-fits-all is not a good solution, because we want to make sure our goal is, as we said over and over, is to smooth that curve to where we don't overrun our healthcare capacity.
How'd I do, Elton?
Do we know if she's been given any medication or what's going to happen going forward since there really isn't much?
Again, there's no treatment currently for coronavirus, and this woman, like I said, had very mild, moderate symptoms, and self-isolation, staying at home, and preventing any risk to any ongoing community spread is what her foremost thought was, which is really, really something that we could applaud in this particular individual. No medication necessarily. She may have taken ibuprofen. I don't know. I haven't asked her that. But I do know that we will continue to follow up with details and share where and when appropriate.
Can you tell us what day she flew back through the Boise Airport?
I don't have that detail specifically, but that will be pending.
Yeah. Betsy?
Governor, you spoke this morning about three legislators who also returned from a conference back east where there was an individual who ended up having coronavirus. Given the way that this new case has come to our state, do you think there's anything further that ought to happen in that case involving the laws?
Well, I didn't speak about it. I responded to a question. I don't want the record to reflect that. But it's just like anyone else has been that's been at an event. Where were they in relation to the person that is a known, confirmed person that's been exposed to this virus? So in their particular instance, I think as we found out about it, when I found out about it Saturday and was notified in the discussions, and this went through the proper protocols, went through health and welfare, went through the public health districts, they contacted those legislators. So what I'm trying to let everybody understand is we have put the protocols in place. Now, this is kind of a fast evolving public health event, and the science and the epidemiology is an evolving issue. But with what we know, we think we're doing the best practices, and we think that was what took place in that particular case.
Governor, does this change anything about what you said about closing public schools this morning?
No, because of the kind of case it was. And you know, a lot of states are doing blanket issues. The question is, how long? When do they? It's all about trying to bend that curve down, and you don't want to do it too early. You might even exacerbate the problem. So that's part of the discussion that Director Jepson's committee, in coordination with the superintendent, with the local school districts. We're trying to do that because we don't want to have, we don't want people to come home and then come back right at the peak problem and create a peak healthcare problem later on. And that's what the timing's taken place with on school closures.
So is it wait and see, or is there a set threshold that you have right now that, hey, when it hits this threshold?
There are a lot of variables, and I'm going to count on an incredible team that we've got here to give us the best advice, use the best science to do the right thing to address that issue. So.
Do you have a message to employers about working from home? Are there any plans for changing things for government employees as far as that?
There are so many different efforts taking place. The large companies, you know, Micron's a good example. Micron, from the very get-go, because of their nexus to their facilities in China, they were very aggressive right from the very get-go, as they properly should. We are reaching out particularly to smaller companies that don't have their in-house health advisors to give them any information they need, and continue to knock on their door and say, do you need any more information? Can we help you make decisions about what you do, about having people work from home, about what you do as far as your policies? And that's, you know, there are a lot of small businesses in Idaho, and it's hard for us to reach all of them, but that's why we need all of your help to get that message out. So, Betsy.
This question is for anyone who has the answer. What about the other people who were on the plane with the patient when she flew into Boise? Are they being contacted?
Again, we will go beyond and share a little more information that the person was not symptomatic when they were flying back. And we do know that it can, to some degree, potentially be spread through airborne particles prior to a person showing signs or symptoms, but the likelihood is very, very low. And that risk of transmission is not our number one priority. The number one priority is those that are in closest proximity to her while she has been actively displaying signs and symptoms.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much.
Idaho's first case of COVID-19 has just been confirmed by Governor Brad Little. Our thanks to KTVB-TV for the audio of his live news conference. I'm Samantha Wright here on Boise State Public Radio News, and joining me in studio is Frankie Barnhill. Hi, Frankie.
Hi, Samantha. And yes, we learned a little bit more definitely about this case that we just knew that it was confirmed. We learned that it is a woman in her 50s in Ada County, that she believes that she contracted the virus when she was at a conference in New York City in late February, early March. It sounded as though there's a chance that she was back in Ada County for a few days, is what officials said.
Yeah, they said a few days or a short time. Yeah.
And that then she contacted her primary health provider and went in and did get a test. She has mild symptoms, is how it was characterized, and is at home recovering from COVID-19.
That's right. She was between 50 and 60, so she was under 60.
Right.
We know that much. And we know that Health and Welfare is checking all the people who have been in contact with the woman.
Right.
And they're tracing her movements from the time she got back from the conference, going through the Boise airport.
Right.
To today, when she was diagnosed this
right.
morning.
This morning, or actually even this afternoon, I think they said that they were, you know, talking about the quick state lab testing that this test came through yesterday, and they confirmed it today. You know, the phrase that they talked about is the ring of closest proximity for folks in this person's circles, their family, others. And, you know, they have first ruled out influenza, her primary care provider, and then they got her tested. And we, on Idaho Matters today, we were talking about those different steps that primary care facilities are taking. There is a criteria for people to get the test in Idaho, because the testing is where state epidemiologist Christine Hahn called it a bottleneck, that there's not enough testing capacity right now. The state has begun working with private labs in other states and is hoping that that capacity will increase over the next weeks to come.
Yes, absolutely. And the governor made a point several times to say that this case was brought in from outside the state, and it's not a case of community spread inside Idaho. And that seemed to be something both he and Health and Welfare reiterated several times.
Yeah, and that helped, you know, bolster his when reporters were challenging him on and asking, okay, at 10 a.m. this morning when you held your previous press conference, when there was not at that time a confirmed case of COVID-19 in Idaho, you said, you know, not changing anything when it comes to large events. There is some guidance from different folks at the city level and at the state level for gatherings of 250 people or more, especially for events where that brings people in from other states. And the governor just now said, even with this confirmed case, because they think that community spread risk is low, that they are not changing that policy. They're not going to be canceling events at this time. They're also not closing schools at this time.
And we have reporter Heath Drusen, I believe, on the line. Hey, Heath.
Hey, Sam.
You were at the at this press conference live. What did you see and hear?
Yeah, it just wrapped up. We got you guys might have had the same information, but you know, we got kind of basic information that this was a woman in her 50s. She had traveled to New York. They believe she contracted the virus in New York City. She was at a conference. She's self-isolating at home in Ada County, and there are some other people around here who they're investigating their exposure levels. But so far, she is the only confirmed case.
That's right. And Heath, you asked the question to the governor, is there any change in advice from Health and Welfare with this first case on what to do about coronavirus?
Right. And he said no. And the reason he gave was that this does not appear to be what health professionals call a community transmission, meaning this does not appear to be a transmission it does not appear that she got the virus from someone in Idaho. It appears that she got it from outside of Idaho. So he said it would be different if we had a. So as of right now, he says no change.
Gotcha. Idaho's first case of COVID-19 has just been confirmed by Governor Brad Little and Health and Welfare, and just minutes ago, and we are bringing you live coverage of both the press conference and the information that has come out. I'm Samantha Wright with Frankie Barnhill here on Boise State Public Radio News, and reporter Heath Drusen was just at the press conference. And Heath, a lot of questions from a lot of reporters who were there.
Yes, there were a lot of questions, maybe not as many answers as we wanted, but yeah, basically his message was that as of right now, Idaho is taking the same approach. I asked him about his advice for companies about working from home, and he didn't really give a very sort of strong message that you should or you shouldn't, but he did say that the government is reaching out to smaller companies in Idaho who might not have their own healthcare consultants and working with them on best practices. But as of right now, he's not saying that, you know, government employees are being told to work from home or anything like that.
Interesting, interesting. And we should point out that the question was asked about had the person who has the first case of coronavirus in Idaho been to any public schools, and Health and Welfare said no.
Not that they're aware of.
Not that they're aware of.
Yes, I was going to say they said not that they're aware of. It sounds like there's still some questions, but yes, they said there's no reason to believe that.
And part of that is, as Health and Welfare said in the news conference, was because they are still investigating. They are working with this woman to try and find out where she's been and who she might have come into contact with. So they're still looking for these answers.
Yes, that's correct. And another thing
that's
that
was correct. They said.
Oh, go ahead, Heath.
Oh, sorry.
Heath, you're up.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. That yes, indeed. They said the investigation is very much still ongoing, and it sounds like there's still a lot of pieces of the puzzle they want to put together.
And it also sounded as though this woman, and they made a point to really applaud her for stepping forward and saying, "Hey, I was at this conference. I maybe came into contact with someone. I've been feeling, you know, sick, feeling under the weather. I'm going to go get checked out." And then she went to her primary health provider and did that, and they really applauded that as kind of, you know, the thing that they want people to do. You know, they also reminded people that at this point, they're not giving tests to just anyone. There is still criteria, and there's information on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, about what that criteria is. But, you know, they're continuing to say that the risk still remains low in Idaho at this point, even though we do have our first confirmed case.
Yeah, and they made a point of saying this is a very mild case. She's at home. She's recovering at home. So it didn't sound like, you know, she had to go to the hospital or do some of the things that some of the more scarier cases that we've heard about have done. Heath, so where do we go from here? I think we wait on Health and Welfare and see what they find out in their investigation.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think one thing to keep in mind, I think we've been in a bit of a bubble in Idaho, but, you know, because we haven't had a confirmed case, but it seems pretty clear that while this might be the first confirmed case, it's certainly not, has a long timeline, and the governor was talking about that too, talking about flattening the curve, which is sort of the jargony term for keeping the spread of the disease in check so that it doesn't get to the higher sort of ends of the estimates that we're seeing.
And the state has definitely received pressure around making sure that the people who need to be tested are getting tested. And they're going to continue to receive pressure on that thing. At that note, I believe, you know, there's a lot of questions about how long people can have this and be asymptomatic and mild cases, and how it can, in different people, the symptoms might be different. And so there's just a lot of unknowns still, which, of course, you know, makes some people ask some pretty tough questions of their state officials.
Well, I was just going to quickly add, you know, I did actually ask them if they have the testing capability for the upper ends of the estimates on how many cases we might get. And they did say yes to that. We'll means we don't have details, but they said they're ready.
And just to note, the exact number right now that they have on hand for tests, for the number of people who could be tested right now, it's between 700 and 900.
Gotcha. Heath, thanks so much for covering the news conference for us. And we'll surely hear from you again as this goes on.
Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Heath. We also want to note that, I mean, there's been a lot of things happening today, from the emergency declaration this morning to the case this afternoon to everything from Tree Fork this week that was postponed to Roby Creek Run being canceled. Lots going on. In fact, the Idaho State Board of Education is meeting now with colleges and university presidents to, you know, look at what they need to do about coronavirus. And CSI has already gone to going to online classes. Boise State did their own online test today. So the news just keeps happening. And you mentioned we have a lot of that on our website.
We do have a lot of that information on our website. When you go to boisestatepublicradio.org, you'll see the information right at the top of our website. And yeah, we're keeping you up to date as much as we can. Every single, you know, it really feels like this news story is moving very, very quickly. And, you know, also to say, we do want to hear from our listeners about this. If you have a story or a question about coronavirus, we actually have a form on our website that you can fill out, and a phone number at boisestatepublicradio.org to leave us a message. We want to stay in touch with our listeners.
Frankie Barnhill, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
We have been reporting on Idaho's first case of COVID-19. We will bring you more information throughout the day and tomorrow, and on our website at boisestatepublicradio.org. I'm Samantha Wright. Don't forget to check in at our website, and we'll also have more information tomorrow during Weekend Edition. This is Boise State Public Radio News.